sake. Amen. Amen. Here in this chapter, Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul is looking at a soldier. He's taking the items that the Roman soldier used to equip himself, and he is taking spiritual lessons from each and every one of them that we might equip ourselves as Christian. Now, the modern-day soldier has any amount of equipment, whether it's bulletproof vests, satellite radio, layers of protective clothing, radios, walkie-talkies, weapons with high magnification that they might see the target at a great distance, and then something that has been recently announced, boots that produce electricity so that the soldier doesn't have to carry a very heavy battery pack, something to reduce the weight. Now, of course, there are some things that you can't eliminate when the soldier is going into battle, and that is his feelings. How do you prepare a soldier to go into battle, into combat, facing all the risks and the dangers? There's always the danger of fear, that he ends up frozen in mind, unable to go into action, well prepared, and in spite of all else, he is unable to do his job. Should a soldier depend on his feelings? Should a Christian depend on his feelings? And today we want to look at this question because we come to this armor, this breastplate of righteousness, armor number 2, and it is to protect the heart and the inner organs, the trunk of the soldier, lest, of course, that weapon, the spear, the arrow, slay him by attacking the vital organs. This breastplate of righteousness, the metal breastplate of the soldier, was to protect all those vital parts. And in this analogy, used by Paul to describe the spiritual battle, it's all about the emotions, the feelings, and how it affects man's ability to function. And this is where so much of the enemy's attack is against the Christian. There is such a thing as spiritual warfare in your heart, in the seat of your emotions, your mood, how you feel, your joy factor, or perhaps the reverse of that, depression. And then there is spiritual depression. Those mornings you waken up, and before you even get out of bed, you feel absolutely defeated. And to get to the routine of opening your Bible and praying and doing those things that on most days are just easy, on that day, you feel unable to take in a thing. Now, the devil will play with your moods. He will play with your emotions. He is the master of using our own feelings to work against us. Now, the reality is that you cannot run from your feelings, just as much as a soldier cannot run from the fear factor, the sweat that he may sense as he prepares for combat and going into battle. He cannot run from his own feelings. Neither can you, as a Christian, run from how you feel in your spiritual walk and your daily devotions with the Lord. And in that inner being, you are a very complex person, because the Christian not only has an old nature, but you've got a new nature. And the old nature does war with the new nature. The old nature rebels. But you are also born of the Spirit, and you have a new nature planted there by the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit is at work in you, giving you grace, giving you strength. And yet the old nature doesn't want to die, and there's a battle going on. And so when the Apostle Paul is using the analogy of a soldier, it's very close to home of what you are about as you seek to live for the Lord and as you seek to walk with Him. And so now comes the call to put on the whole armor of God. You must put it on. And the Christian that doesn't do it, well, you're going to be defeated. You're going to be destroyed by the enemy. I want you to remember something, that this is God's armor. Put on the whole armor of God. This is not something that you can work up. It's not something that you can change your own feelings and your own emotions and your own moods. This is something that is outside of yourself. God provides for you to put on as a Christian, to equip you to withstand those fiery darts of the wicked one. That's the provision that God has made for us here. Now, this second item that we're looking at today is the breastplate of righteousness. And I want us to do two things. Firstly, I want us to describe this breastplate of righteousness. And then I want us to prescribe how to put it on. We need to know exactly what it is, and then we need to know how to strap it on to our benefit. So let's begin with describing this armor of righteousness. Now, righteousness is no new word in the vocabulary of this church. And I'd be very disappointed if anyone came to this church for a month and didn't get some grasp of what the word righteousness means. But it's a slippery word. It's one of those words that it's sometimes hard to get fastened in your mind and completely understand it. It therefore requires definition and description. Now, this term is very closely related to justification by faith alone. And it simply means making a sinner right. Righteousness means making a sinner right. Right with God. Right in God's sight. Rightly related to God. Able to enter into God's blessings. You're made right. And this is the righteousness that is before us here today. Now, to further describe it, I want to take this acronym in the word right. Five letters. And I want us just to go down these five letters. Firstly, the R, it is a regal thing, or legal. It's a legal term, and it answers all the demands of God's law. It makes the sinner right with God because the Lord Jesus satisfied the law of God. You'll never understand the gospel. You'll never understand this word righteousness, and you'll never understand what Paul the Apostle is talking about, a breastplate of righteousness, until you see that it is linked to God's justice and the Lord Jesus satisfying God's justice. Because you can't, and I can't. We have sinned. We have come short of the glory of God or God's standard. We can't reach that standard, but the Lord Jesus did. And the life that he lived for 33 years on earth was to make us right. Everything he did was right. Every word he spoke was the right word. He was truth manifested. Everything he did, he pleased his heavenly Father. He did what was right in God's sight. It is the fulfilling of the law. The Lord Jesus said he came not to negate it, abrogate it, but to fulfill all righteousness. And the Lord Jesus has done that. So it's regal or legal. That's the first one of the five letters. Then there's the I. It's infinite. It's infinite and it's imputed. So we have a double I here. Infinite in the sense that it took one who was a member of the Trinity, God himself, to fulfill this righteousness. It is therefore called the righteousness of God because it was a triune divine person that took and provided that righteousness for us. God sent his Son, and that righteousness that Jesus has weaved, worked by his 33 years on this earth, is infinite in its value because it's the righteousness of God. And then the other part of the I is that it is imputed. It's put onto us. And I suppose you can see that picture in the breastplate. the Roman soldier standing there, firstly with his just his trunk unguarded, and then this breastplate, this metal is strapped on him. What a difference. And you can see Paul thinking of, that's just like the gospel. That's just what happens when you believe in the Lord Jesus. That the naked man in his own rags of sin and unworthiness, there is put to his account, there is strapped to him this protection, this righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Now this word imputed is an accounting term, and it means to transfer on the ledger to your account. Now I want you to think down the column. When the Lord Jesus was born, he was a perfect human. Everything he did through his life was perfect. Put that down the column. His infancy, his adolescence, his obedience to his parents, his obedience in the land, his ministry, his healing, his helping, his working in every aspect, the ministry that he gave in word, even his obedience in going to the cross. Put all of that on the ledger. Put it right down that column and add it all up. And the value on that column, you now transfer it to the ledger of your account. And that merit, that work of the Lord Jesus, is put or imputed to your account. And that's the righteousness that is given to the Christian. It's positive and it's made personal right to your account. R-I, so it's infinite, imputed. G, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's provided from A to Z all by God. Not by your works of righteousness are you saved. It is God's own righteousness transferred to your account. Money couldn't buy it. All the pilgrimages that man could ever take couldn't buy it. All your penance can't buy it. This righteousness, this merit or goodness of the Lord Jesus that's transferred from his ledger to your account is God's free gift. God has made this provision. That's why he sent his son. That's why he raised him up from the dead. He gives to you the gift of the righteousness of his son. And now you're called on to put it on. What else do we know about this? It's heavenly. R-I-G-H, it's heavenly. It makes a man right for heaven. In fact, it's the only standard that is acceptable in heaven. The righteousness of man, or the works of man, are imperfect, flawed, stained. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our works fail to meet God's holy standard. And one of the most fearful verses in the Bible, which says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. In other words, if your righteousness does not exceed the very righteousness of the Pharisees, you're lost. Your righteousness needs to be perfect. And so, to be ready for heaven, you need to trust, accept, and rejoice in that righteousness of the Lord Jesus. The last thing about this righteousness, R-I-G-H-T, and I'm emphasizing this word right, it's the right thing for me to do. Do you get it? Come on now, respond. It's right. And if you're going to be right with God, you need the righteousness of his son, and the T of right stands for, it's timeless. It's timeless. When you are clothed or receive the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, it is a one-time bestowal or gift that is yours for all eternity. And should that new convert die one moment after conversion, he's perfectly right for heaven with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Like the dying thief on the cross. How could the Lord Jesus say to that vile, wicked man, today thou shalt be with me in paradise? when you expire on that cross beside me, right here on this hill called Calvary, a malefactor, a murderer, a criminal, and I'm going to promise you something, that today, when you die, you will go straight into the kingdom of God called paradise. How could Jesus say that? Because he provided a righteousness to make a sinner right. And the instant that we believe, we're given that righteousness of the Lord Jesus to our account, and it's timeless. He was made righteous that day. He was made righteous to enter straight into heaven that day. And you and I can take the promise that we are made right today, and the day we die, the day we leave this world and go into eternity, you will be right with God, having been clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And so it is by this means that a person can be right with God. Now that brings me, after, I hope, getting through to you, defining what righteousness means. I will be a very sad man at the end of the service if someone comes to me, could you explain to me again what righteousness is? It means making you right. Righteousness is making you right with God today and for all eternity. It's timeless. And when you stand in the courts of heaven, you will be made and appear perfectly, wonderfully righteous with God. Now, I've defined what righteousness is. What about this putting it on? What do we do with this? How do we enjoy this gift that God gives? What does it mean to me and my walk here on earth? The prescription to put on this armor of righteousness. Well, you're to put on this armor of righteousness for any lack of assurance. I talked about waking up in the morning and having a bad day. And maybe you say to yourself, or maybe it's the devil saying it to you, are you really saved? Now, yesterday you were on top of the world. You had some victory in your life, but today you're just all defeated. Where are you at now? Do you really have peace with God? Do you really have God's salvation? Are you really born again? And your feelings, well, they speak against you. And if you were to go by your feelings, you would say, I can't be a Christian in this state. I'm too down. I'm too discouraged. I'm too depressed. It's then that you're to put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus that is perfect. You see, it's not by feelings. It's by faith in the perfect standard provision of the Lord Jesus to your account. The subjective must follow the objective. The truth that God has pronounced you righteous must supersede the feelings that sometimes strain on your heart. Now let me prove that from the Bible. Let's go back, please, to Romans 6, verse 17. We have here a very wonderful, helpful verse on this subject of putting the objective truth first. Then we use it in our hearts, and then we use it in our lives. I'm going to call this head, heart, hands. Head, heart, hands. And this is God's order. But God be thanked. This is Romans 6, 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now you'll notice what it was that changed these people. It was doctrine. It was not feelings. Someone didn't come along and tickle them. Someone gave them the gospel, doctrine. And it was the message to their heads. And because they received that word, it says that they obeyed from the heart. So what the message that entered their head affected their hearts. Objective, subjective. What came as a message in doctrine entered their minds. And they received that, rejoicing in it, so that their hearts were delivered from the burden of sin and we're able to rejoice in the peace that the gospel brings. And then that affected their hands. They obeyed. They obeyed. You see the order? You see how we put on this breastplate of righteousness? You don't start with how you feel. You start with what the gospel has done for you and what the Lord Jesus has done for you in your own soul. We must always fall back on the breastplate of righteousness. And just picture yourself a soldier in the battle. Those fiery darts are coming at you. The enemy's approaching. The spears are being thrown. The arrows are flying. How do you feel? And do you say to your fellow soldier, how do you feel? Ah, but I have this breastplate. That is what strengthens, and that is what secures. And likewise, the Christian, as we go through all the moods and all the temperament of our own human nature, and this psychology of man is a very deep, subtle subject. There's not two personalities here the same. There's not two people here that have got exactly the same perspective on life. Some are see the glass half empty and some see it half full. Some are optimists, some are pessimists. Some battle with fears and doubts. But that person battling with fears and doubts, if they have the armor of righteousness, are as safe and secure in Christ and sure of heaven. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness for emotionalism. That's another way we're to put it on. Now, this is the age in many churches when many ministries try to produce various emotions. And you can go to all kinds of meetings and they'll give you a little happy pickup time. Try to just boost your mood. Great music, great one-liner songs. And they're happy, happy occasions. And they thrill at the time. And they go straight to the emotions. But remember that even those people in their happy moments, if not saved, if not in the gospel, do not have on the very righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to remember that emotionalism, for emotionalism's sake, is always wrong. Always wrong. It is not Christian. Now, Christianity will produce real emotion, but it's not mere emotionalism. That was not the gospel of Whitfield, Wesley, the great evangelist of the Christian church, nor of the Reformation, nor of the early church. And yet you read through the book of Acts and you will find that many Christians had days of superlative joy, but it was not a gospel of emotionalism. It was a gospel of truth. Of salvation by faith in the work of another, and that work applied to them by the power and the grace of God. And so our feelings must flow from the knowledge of our standing in Christ, of knowing that we are made right with God, and it's that that sets us free and delivers us from every form of bondage. Now it's wonderful. And it is joy to the soul, but it needs to be based on the objective work of the Lord Jesus. I move a little further. It's also to be put on against temptation. Now, every one of us are in this world or in the flesh. We are subject to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And temptation usually comes to us when we move to extremes. Either the devil makes us to think too much of ourselves, and he makes us proud, and he works upon the prideful nature that is within us. And then we let our guard down. Oh, we get puffed up, and we think we're strong, and we think we're fit. We think we're able to take on the world, or we think too little of the work of the Lord Jesus. And we lose sight of our very victory ground. Now, pride makes us think that we don't really need this armor. We don't need to put on this breastplate of righteousness. The best example I can think of this is days of driving kids to school. And every morning, I would say, buckle up. and as sure as something that anything, there would be just at least one with no seatbelt on. And so at the end of the street, I would hit the brakes, and I would say, this car can't go anywhere until all the belts are on. And I have to keep saying it, and I'd have to keep repeating it. If they didn't want to be late for school, they get their seatbelts on. But you know, God has to keep saying it to us. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on this breastplate of righteousness. And what happens to us when we have that bad day and are discouraged and depressed? We either forget or we neglect to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we open ourselves up to all the temptations of the wicked one. The other extreme is to make us think that we are nobodies and our service is for nothing. And no matter what we do for God, it will be of no use and never please Him. And then you're totally lost in a sense of your own unworthiness. That's when you need to put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. This reminds me of a trick that my dad used to do when he was caring for newborn lambs. When there was a mother sheep that lost her lambs and had no lambs, and of course she had this flow of milk that was being wasted, and maybe there was another sheep with triplets, unable to feed them properly. Well, he would try to get the sheep with no lambs to adopt the third one, usually the littlest one. But that mother was not taking. What does he do? Well, if a lamb had died, and that mother that has no lambs, one of her lambs has died, he would take the skin right off the dead lamb and he would attach it to the living adopted lamb. And he would stitch right along the front, just like a little cloak, along the front of its neck and to each one of its legs, just a little catch that would hold it in place. And so when that mother sheep smelled the adopted lamb, she looked upon that lamb and she saw and smelled the wool, the covering of her own lamb, and adopted it freely and carefully and cared for it and nurtured for it, because that adopted lamb had on this clothing that made it agreeable and acceptable to the mother sheep. And can you apply that to you today? God looks upon us as sinners. What does He see? He sees our sins. He rejects us. He cannot receive us because we're sinful from head to toe. But in the plan of the gospel, He clothes us with the righteousness of His Son. And when He adopts us into His family, He provides the clothing of His Son, and the Son in whom He delights, and the righteousness that He accepts is now put to our account, placed on us. And when God looks upon His own redeemed, saved people, what does He see? He sees the righteousness of His Son. And He accepts us. And we can sing that we are accepted in the Beloved, and we are made right with God. Now there's one other area I want to deal with before we go today, and that is, we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness for laziness. You see, the defeated, depressed, and discouraged Christian will be the very last to serve well. He will be a very poor soldier who feels exposed and unprotected. That soldier will be so concerned about self-preservation that he will be fear-frozen, unable to act as he ought to as a soldier. And that's how many Christians are. Many Christians, they feel so unworthy and so lousy and so such a failure within themselves, and say, well, I can't be an example to anybody. I can't even go to the church prayer meeting and pray because I would be praying a lie. I feel so unworthy. And when an opportunity comes up to witness and tell others about the wonders of the gospel, you say, well, I can't even speak a word because I feel so down. And it's then that you need to put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Why can any one of us even come to the house of God and worship? It's not because of how good we are, or what work we've done, or what accomplishments we've made. No, it's because we plead the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Why will God accept the singing we offer as we take our hymnals today to sing? Why does God accept the very praises from our lips? Because we are clothed in the righteousness of His Son. Why would God accept this preaching of His Word today as faithful worship? Because we are not preaching ourselves. We are not preaching our goodness, our worth, our merit. We are here today feasting on the truth that Christ is worthy, that He is righteous, and on the basis of His righteousness, we can declare the gospel that filthy, wicked, hell-deserving sinners can be made acceptable through the worth and the work of the Lord Jesus. And here is this armor that you must put on. Yes, if it was all based on your righteousness, we'd have to go home. We'd have to say, that's it, I'm finished. But it's not. It's based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Now, feelings are treacherous things. And I want to guide you away from resting on your feelings. Now, I can't stop you from the way you feel. I can't stop you. And you probably can't stop yourself. The way you are created, the way your constitution, your personality, you can't change yourself. And you may have, by very personality, given to, you know, you're a very, very cautious, almost suspicious nature. You don't trust anything or anybody. That's just the way you are. And then there's the next person beside you, and they are a very trusting person. And we have to be careful in this world that you don't trust the wrong person. And so when you come to the gospel, being a person who is trusting by nature, you rejoice in it, you receive it, and you go on your happy way. And praise God, it will not fail you. But there are many people that don't have that. And they're questioners. And they, I wouldn't say are given to a spirit of unbelief, that is ungodly, wicked, and sinful. But they take the long look at things. Well, do take a long look. I'm asking you to take a long look. But stop looking at yourself and your feelings. And take a look at what the Bible says about this righteousness. The provision of God to clothe us, make us perfect, and protect us from every form of temptation. Now, really, this is an extension of girding up yourself up with the truth. And some in commenting on this said that this armor was strapped on by the girdle. And it's because it's true that it's a blessed, blessed thing. Put on the righteousness of God, and then you will be the soldier fit for battle. Put on the breastplate. Put it on today. It's Sunday. You're in church. Put it on. Put it on tomorrow. When you stand before the world and you seek to live as a living witness for Christ, put it on. Put it on in your home. When you deal with all the emotions of life, the ups and downs, put it on. When you feel that life's not worth living, put on the breastplate of righteousness. When you sin and the devil trips you up, and you feel like Peter, and you're weeping over your denial of the Lord, put on this breastplate of righteousness. It's your only hope. when you feel you've failed. You've let someone down and let God down. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's what a good Christian soldier does. And then you go on into the battle. May the Lord help us.